the istiqbal of the month of Muharram, the welcoming of the month of Muharram. This month, these gatherings are not ordinary gatherings. But it's important that we kind of lay down the foundation tonight to build on in the future nights. Imam Radha alayhi salatu wasalam, he has a very powerful hadith when it comes to gatherings where the Ahl al-Bayt are mentioned, such as these types of gatherings. And he says, "Man jalasa majlasan yuhya fihi amruna lam yamut qalbuhu." That for the one who sits in a gathering where he says our affairs, the Ahl al-Bayt's commands, our fada'il, our masa'ib, our traditions, our sayings, our sunnat, are what yuhya from hay are kept alive, are given life. The one who sits in a gathering where all these things are mentioned, like this gathering you are sitting in tonight right now, lam yamut qalbuhu, their heart never dies. Yoma tamutu al-qulub, on the day where their hearts will die out of fear of Allah, the ones who sit in these gatherings, their heart on the Day of Judgment will not have an ounce of fear. I say that because I want all of us to understand the greatness of this month. You know, we're a very strange nation sometimes. It's very ajeeb that we are individuals who anticipate our grief. We decorate our sadness. We celebrate, for lack of a better word, our grief. We look forward to the first night of the month of Muharram. We plan everything out for the next 12 nights. In fact, some actually begin the countdown for the next Muharram the day after Ashura. We have suitcases labeled Muharram clothes, and after Mubahila, we take that suitcase out and we look through it and what fits, what doesn't fit. We iron it, we wash it. We get everything ready. We get our children ready. We have a schedule down packed. They get back from school, they nap for an hour, they have a little bit of a snack, and then they come somehow, they bring him here at 8 o'clock at night, when sometimes that's the peak of their bedtime. And we, of course, tell them on the way what's happening and where we're going and what's going on. And there is this level of, again, for lack of a better word in English, excitement about the arrival of the month of Muharram. And anybody on the outside would watch many of your families and would think that these people are strange. They're doing all this preparation to enter a hall that's draped in black. The people are draped in black, the speaker is draped in black, and about half an hour to 40 minutes, the lights will be off, and we'll retell the gory details of a martyrdom of young children. Talk about the thirst of a four-year-old, the piercing of an arrow for a six-month-old. And as the days get closer to that pinnacle of that shahadat of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, which is a very difficult maqdal to recite and to listen to, the public actually grows in numbers. There are many of you who have annual majlis at your homes. There are actually people who for one day out of the year mark their calendar, print up flyers, inform the people 3 months before Muharram starts sometimes. And you invite 100 people even though your house only fits 50. And you spend X amount of dollars, either a full-fledged meal I've seen or tabarruk. All for what? All for you? Get up in the morning, hit that Toronto traffic, get to work on time, spend 8 hours somehow on the 8th of Muharram, going through work, business. Meanwhile, your mind is in the evening majlis. You come home dead, tired, exhausted, and the routine in the evening starts. Get your clothes ironed, you freshen up, you grab a quick tea, you pack the kids up, you pack your backpack full of snacks, and you're on your way to the majlis. You get home by 11, you're in bed by 12, you're back up the next morning. All for what? All for grief, all for sadness. And we come here and we listen to heart-wrenching tragedies, night after night after night, of a different personality. And you've been hearing it for years. And when you hear the Masaib, you cry like you've heard it just yesterday, like you were mawjood on the plains of Karbala, like with your eyes you saw it yourself. Because after a while, even tears for our loved ones dry up. We lose a father unexpectedly. And maybe after 15, 20 years, we can sit there and talk about my father and talk about the fact that my father died like this and his funeral was like this. For the first time, I might be able to see a picture of him, a video of him. Why? Because time has passed. Time heals. The heart has accepted a new normal. You move on. But this is a different grief. This is a different gham. It comes, it refreshes itself every single year, year in and year out. And we come rushing through that door for one moment where maybe we might shed one tear for Imam Hussein. It's a harara inside the heart of the mu'min. It's a movement, it's a mission, it's a fire that will never extinguish. Don't take this for granted. In about 40 days, some of you will travel to Karbala and be part of a group of 25, 27, 28 million people who will fly or swim or crawl or walk or run and take their newborn baby with the hopes that maybe I might get close enough to see the dhari, forget touch it, but just enough to say assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah and turn back and take my family back through this very difficult journey. I've seen images, and so have you, individuals who don't have legs and they push themselves from Najaf to Karbala, 80 kilometers in length. All for what? A simple salam. We have no hopes of going to the dhari and kissing it and holding it and rubbing our cheek. No. If we get to see the golden dome from a distance, alhamdulillah, that's all I want. You travel across the ocean in a war-torn country with, you know, with all these possibilities of something happening, doesn't matter. So these are not normal nights. And because they're not normal nights, we cannot enter this month on a normal state of mind. There has to be adab and etiquette involved. And I ask my parents in the audience who bring their children, no doubt, 8 years old, 9 year old, 5 year old, 6 year old, they may not know what's going on, but they'll know that something is different with Baba and Mama when it comes to this majlis. This is not your normal Shab-e-Jumu'ah. These are not the jashns of Rajab and Sha'ban. This is not Fatimiyya. They have their own due respect. This is the first nights of the month of Muharram. And eventually they're going to ask that, Baba, why? Why can't I wear this? Why can't I do this? Every other time you're okay with this, but not now. And that's when you explain who Husayn ibn Ali is. And he'll get it. He'll get it. These kids may not know the story, may not even understand a word I say, but somehow if you tell them that tomorrow you can't come to the majlis, there'll be a war inside your home. They're tired, they're sleeping, one eye is open, but I'm not tired, Baba. Let's go to the majlis. Is this not a harara? Is this not something inside your heart? Now the question that I have for myself and for all of you is this, that yes, we have all the tools for the reform, the revolution, the elevation, everything is there to reform our hearts. No doubt about it. In 10 nights, you can have one spark that can reform your heart. That's all that's needed. The question that I want all of us to ask on this first night of the month of Muharram is, what does Imam Hussein want from me? And the expectation from us is a little bit higher than anybody else. The question is what? Now all of you have, you do your respectful tribute to Imam Hussein. There are many of you, for the first 10 days of Muharram, don't wear certain colors. You don't turn the television on. No useless talk. Some don't eat meat, for example. Some don't even sleep on their bed. They sleep on the floor. They don't want any comfort or luxury for the first 10 days. And that's your tribute, and may Allah accept it. That's beautiful. But does Imam Hussein require a little bit more than that from us, who understand his position when it comes to the wilayat of Allah? He's not just an avenue to get our du'as answered by Allah. He's a man that we recognize to be our third imam. Maybe, just maybe, on this first night of Muharram, someone like me can promise Imam Hussein that your sacrifice is azeem, it's great. Maybe on top of the fact that I'll only wear dark colors, I won't eat any meat, I won't open the television, I won't sleep on my cushy mattress, I won't do this, I won't do that. On top of that, I'll promise you, Imam Hussein, that for 10 straight days, I won't miss one fajr, for example. For 10 straight days, maybe on my commute to work, in between my classes, on my way to the majlis, maybe I'll open my Quran app and 5 verses of the Quran with meaning in these first 10 days. To begin the reform process, I want us to think about what we can present to Imam Hussein as a hadiyah, as a gift. He's given us so much. We owe this man a lot. His mission, this aza, is the source of our identity, an avenue of our salvation. He's a ray of our hope. Where would we be as a Shia nation without this azadari? Why do you think the enemy is pouring millions of dollars to start fitna and corruption inside this very institution amongst the Shias? Why do you think the ziyarah for Imam Hussein has always been difficult from day number one? It's never been easy to go to Karbala and send your salams to Imam Hussein. Because they know that if they go arifan bihaqqina, with the understanding who Imam Hussein truly is, they'll come back as a brand new person who not only will bring deen to the musalla in the masjid, but bring thee into his workplace and his school classroom as well. And that scares the enemy. And they've recognized Imam Hussein to be that avenue. Have you and I, as a question, have you and I recognized this place to be a place of revolution?